This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Galatians. I'm beginning a new series this morning on the subject, Understanding Temperaments. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you don't have your Bible, the notes contain the scriptures. I encourage you to take your notes and look for those, because we're going to be going through those this morning as we bring an introductory message on the subject of understanding temperaments. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In your notes, I have written, because Jesus was completely Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled, these characteristics were fully and perfectly demonstrated in His life. How many of you know that Jesus was the perfect example that all of us are to strive to be like? I say in your notes that these are the characteristics that will be displayed in the life of a Christian that is completely Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled. I think most of you know that I'm not there yet. Some of you aren't either. But as the man said, I'm not where I ought to be. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm moving toward that. In your notes, I write, it seems, however, that some of these characteristics come naturally and easily for some of us, while some of the other characteristics are hard to develop. This doesn't mean much to you right now, but as we look at the notes, and over the next few weeks we'll be studying this, the sanguine personality finds joy very natural. They're naturally joyful, up, buoyant people. What a sanguine has a hard time with is patience and self-control. God has to bring that into their lives. The choleric has tons of self-control, faithfulness, determination. They have a hard time with kindness, love. The melancholy temperament finds love and goodness very easy. Those are natural things. What they struggle with is joy and patience. The phlegmatic temperament finds peace and kindness come very naturally. What is difficult is finding joy in their lives. And only God can bring that. In your notes, I have written, the theory of the temperaments was first put forth by Hippocrates, who lived 469 through 370 B.C. before Christ. Many others have built on it. In the past 200 years, two renowned theologians have done extensive work with it, Dr. Alexander White from England, Dr. O. Hallesby from Norway. In recent years, prominent teachers such as Tim LaHaye and Florence Littauer have amplified these men's work. The theory of the four temperaments is a psychological principle that seems to align itself and agree with the Word of God. By the way, the word temperament is not found in the Bible. Neither is the word Trinity. But the principle of the Trinity is taught in Scripture, and so we believe in the principle of the Trinity. So it is, the word temperament is not found in the Bible, yet I believe you're going to see, we see these principles which would give it credence and credibility. It is a useful tool for understanding ourselves and others that are around us. Understanding temperaments helps us, number one, to accept ourselves and realize God didn't make junk. The Bible tells us that we are to love others as we love what? ourselves. If I hate myself, I have a real hard time loving you. If I think I'm worthless, have no value, I have a real hard time thinking that you have value. So self-acceptance is very important, and we're going to be looking at that in more detail in just a moment. Number two, and I left off the word accept, but you might want to take your pen on number two there, accept, relate to, and minister more effectively to our family, friends, work, and church associates. So number one, it's accepting myself. Number two, it's accepting you. I kind of joked about it last week. How many of you realize that you're fairly normal? How many of you realize that those around you are weird? Nancy and I in our early years of marriage really struggled. I was trying to make her as wonderful as I was. She was trying to make me as wonderful as she was. And we had war. You're going to see why, and it's a miracle we're still married. I had to accept, number one, who I was, and number two, accept who she was, and understand that's the way God made us. And vice versa. It will tremendously help you in your relationships with others. It helps us identify areas where we need to adjust. God used this teaching to really speak to me and to knock off some rough edges. And I realize there's a lot of them left, but you should have known me 20 years ago. Carolyn knew me 20 years ago, and Nancy did too. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can change. By the grace of God, I can change. And our notes say that through yielding to the Holy Spirit, our temperaments can and will be modified. Not changed, not made something different, but modified. And this morning we're going to be looking at the four temperaments, really just an overview. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be going into detail of how God dealt with each of these and the personalities we see in Scripture in your notes, and I encourage you to take those and look with me this morning. The first one that is listed is the sanguine temperament. Does anybody see that page? Sanguine temperament. And our example in Scripture is the Apostle Peter. It's said of Peter, Peter entered a room mouth first. Lord, I will never deny you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny. Peter was very boisterous. Let's look at some of the attributes of the sanguine temperament. And if you'll think of the life of Peter and the things we know about him. And next week we're going to be looking in detail how God adjusted him and changed him and modified him to be effective. Under emotions, and I apologize, these are some old notes, and it cut off. The first word up there under emotions is strengths. All you have is trinks, but it's really strengths. Strengths. Warm and lively. Charisma. These people just light up a room when they walk in. Talkative. Never at a loss for words. They can talk to a phone pole and get it to talk back. They're never at a loss for words. Carefree, never worry about the future. Don't fret about the past. They live for the moment. Great storytellers. They live in the present. Their conversation has an infectious quality. People are just drawn to them because of their personality. They have an unusual capacity for enjoying each moment. These people enjoy life. Weaknesses. They cry easily. Now, I'm not sure that's a weakness, but their emotions are very transparent. They cry when they're happy. They cry when they're sad. They're just emotional people. They just cry. They're emotionally unpredictable. They may be way up here, maybe way down here. Just depends on what hour of the day you catch them. Restless. They're bored easily. Got to be something new and exciting popping all the time, or they get really restless with what they're going through. Spontaneous anger. They'll just blow up. You know, tell you the way it is. Then apologize and 15 minutes later and wonder why you can't forget it. Now, melancholies have a computer memory. Boy, they know exactly what you said when you said it, and they'll call it back to you. You know, sanguines just live in the moment. They don't remember anything. It's just, hey, we blew up. Hey, let's forget about that. That's all over now. They exaggerate the truth. They don't mean to. They just embellish it. They're great storytellers. They just take the truth and add a little bit on top of it. They appear phony. They're not phony. They really are that way. They're just outgoing and effervescent, and the other temperaments look at them and say they're just too much. They lack self-control. They want to please everybody. They want people to like them and love them. So they'll go along with the crowd and they'll do things they shouldn't do, say things they shouldn't say, because they're seeking approval. Emotional decisions. They can be talked into anything, usually. They make impulsive. They're impulsive buyers. Usually sanguines have credit problems, because they're always buying on credit. And they love stuff and they want it now. And boy, you know, stuff's got to pop. And so they end up in trouble because of this impulsive nature that they have. They come on too strong. Sometimes people say, ooh, wait a minute, too much. Activities, strengths. They make a good first impression. Now, sometimes it goes downhill after that. But it's a great first impression. They're not bored because they live in the present. Every day is exciting. It's wonderful. It's new. They're gifted in caring for the sick. These people really do care about hurting people. And they'll give. They're the true people. They engage easily in new projects. Now, they don't finish many of them, but they start a lot of them. Sanguine men have garages full of unfinished birdhouses. Sanguine women have dresses started all over the house and never finished them. They breed enthusiasm. They have this infectious quality that people just want to follow them. Weaknesses, completely disorganized. They are a disaster. They're an accident looking for a place to happen. Their desk is a mess. You know, they're undependable. They're late everywhere they go. Undisciplined. They waste time talking when they should be working. They like talking better than working. Many unfinished projects, easily distracted. The newest thing that comes along, they'll quit what they're doing and start doing that because it's more fun. They fall short of their goal because they don't finish what they start. Many times these people, because of their personalities, are elected the most likely to succeed in high school. A lot of times they don't because they don't have a follow-up. Under relationship to others, strengths, they make friends easily. They're responsive to people. They're enjoyable and optimistic. They're always friendly and smiling. They apologize easily and sincerely. Now, they usually have a lot to apologize for, but it's not a problem for a sanguine to say, I'm sorry. It comes out real easily. Now, some of the other temperaments, I mean, they'll choke on it. They have never uttered the words, I'm sorry. They don't know how to say I was wrong. But sanguines have an easy time with that, to their credit. They're tender and sympathetic. They converse with genuine warmth. They share others' joys and sorrows. These are true, compassionate people. Weaknesses, they dominate conversations. They like to hear themselves talk. And they don't really listen to you. They're thinking about what they're going to say next. When they finish talking, they're really not listening. They're not attentive. They're not tuned in to what's going on. Weak-willed, little conviction. Again, they want approval, and so they get in trouble. They desire credit and approval. They enjoy people, then forget them. They'll be your best friend for 10 minutes. Then you see them, and who are you? They make excuses for negligence. And usually, they've just committed themselves too much. That they can't say no. They've told 12 people they'd be at the same place on the same day, doing something. They can't do it all, because they want everybody to like them, so they tell everybody they're going to do this stuff, and so they talk too much about themselves. They forget their promises and obligations, again, because they're just unorganized and trying to please everybody. Occupations and hobbies. They make great actors and actresses, public speakers, salespeople. A lot of salespeople are saying that. Visiting and caring for the sick, culinary arts, loving parents, foster parents, leaders, motivators. Given to hospitality, great host and hostesses. They tend to be participants in athletics as opposed to observers. We'll talk about that in a minute. They want to be in the game. Now, their life goal of a sanguine, they want to have fun. Life is about having fun. That's it, man. It's about having fun. They need attention and approval. They want people to approve of them and be the center of attention. They wilt under criticism. They have a real hard time dealing with criticism. We're going to be looking at Peter. Peter is almost pure sanguine next week, how God dealt with him. It took him, this wishy-washy guy who couldn't do anything, and made him the pillar of the church. Okay, the second temperament on the back of that page is the choleric. The Apostle Paul is our example of the choleric. What was Paul doing, by the way, the first time we see him in Scripture? What was he doing? Killing people. Yeah, that's a good choleric trait. It's just kill people. Under strengths, they're confident and strong to make decisions. If you are married to a choleric, you will never have to make another decision as long as you live. They're already married. Just do what you're told. Life is good. Strong-willed and determined. Optimistic. They always see why something's going to work. Self-sufficient. It's been said of a choleric, if you don't reach them for Christ before the age of 10, you probably won't reach them. They have such a self-sufficiency. Fearless and bold. They'll charge hell with a squirt gun. Weaknesses, they have a violent anger problem. Now, a sanguine will blow up on you verbally. A choleric will ram their fist through the wall. They have a violent anger problem. We're going to be seeing that two of the temperaments, the sanguine and the choleric, basically have to fight anger all their lives. The melancholy and the phlegmatic have to fight fear. Melancholies and phlegmatics deal with fear. Sanguines and cholerics deal with anger. They're highly opinionated. And by the way, they're always right. They're insensitive to the needs of others. You're hurting? Just get over it. What's wrong with you? It's part of our problem. Nancy was hurting, and I just said, get over it. Unemotional and cold. Little appreciation for the fine arts. When I married Nancy, she said, Paul, I want to paint. So I went to the hardware store, and I bought some drop cloths and several buckets and that's painting, right? No, she wanted watercolors and oils. By the way, I'm almost pure choleric. Have any of y'all figured that out yet? Have you gone far enough in this? I'm almost 100% choleric. She's almost 100% melancholy. You'll see in a minute why we had problems. God began to heal problems as we understood these temperaments. Unsympathetic and harsh, impetuous and violent, disgusted by tears. See, tears is a sign of weakness. Activities, strengths, good organizers and promoters. Decisive, intuitive ability to make decisions. Clerics have already made a decision and started the project while others are organizing committees. Just got it done. Quick and bold in emergencies. Keen, quick mind, great capacity for action. Most clerics are workaholics. Do not vacillate. Once your mind is made up, it's done. Very practical. Stimulate others to activity because of their high energy level and commitment. Other people follow them and they just say, well, hey, if they're going to do it, I'll do it too. They thrive on opposition. If you tell a choleric it can't be done, you just made their day. Love to hear it can't be done. They set goals and reach them. Very goal-oriented people. Weaknesses, overly self-confident. A choleric's favorite scripture is, I can do all things. Not necessarily through Christ. If he wants to help, fine. If not, I can still do it. I can do all things. Crafty. They'll bend the truth sometimes to make it happen. Prejudiced. Opinionated. Bored by details. Don't bother me with the little stuff. We're going to see in a minute, melancholies and phlegmatics are little stuff. They like the clerics is huge big mountains. Just leap over them. Non-analytical. Don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up. I know what I'm doing. Don't bother me with all this stuff. force others to agree with their plan of work. They're tiresome and hard to please. Only have time for their own plans or projects. Relationship to others, strengths. They do not expect others to do what they cannot do. They lead by example. They're not easily discouraged. Strong leaders, good judge of people. They just intuitively size people up. Motivator of others. Exhorters, they're encouragers. These people are going to tell you, you can do it. They're encouragers. They're never daunted by circumstances. In fact, the worse things get, usually the stronger they become. Weaknesses, they have a lack of compassion, especially when people are hurting. They make decisions for others. They're cruel, blunt, and sarcastic. They dominate a group. They're arrogant and bossy. They use people for their own benefit. They're unforgiving and revengeful. They're prone to bigotry. They're haughty and domineering. Other than that, we're really wonderful people. I'll talk more about this in a minute. You know what I did for 2 years straight? I took this in my prayer closet every morning. I said, Lord, change me. Not from the strength. By the way, you don't get to change temperaments. God gave you a temperament. It wasn't wrong. He didn't make a mistake. But I said, Lord, that's true. That's true of me. Change me. And He has to an extent. I say, if you think I'm bad now, you should have known me earlier. Okay, occupations and hobbies. Strong leaders in professional careers. Presidents of organizations and companies. Executives, idea people, top dogs. Participant in athletics. A high percentage of professional athletes are choleric. They got that edge on them. Administrators, educators, particularly at the high school and college level. Political workers, politicians, bank trust officers, crusaders. Many of the world's great generals and leaders have been cholerics. They make good executives, idea people, dictators or criminals, depending on their moral convictions. Are we having fun yet? Now, here's what motivates a cleric. A cleric, life is all about being in control. What's it about? They need achievement. They need appreciation. Got to feel like they're accomplishing something and being appreciative for it. They stay away from ungrateful people. Temperament number 3. The melancholy temperament. Our example is Moses. And emotion. We're going to be looking at Moses in the coming weeks. Emotion, strengths. They love music and art. These are those people who have rich, sensitive spirits. When they think of painting, they're thinking of watercolor and oils, not a brush and a drop cloth. Rich, sensitive nature. They have an analytical ability. They're always reading between the lines, always analyzing, always trying to get a read on things, and they don't make quick decisions. They're very analytical. They're emotionally responsive. They'll respond to others. They're not initiators emotionally, but they will be responsive. They're deep, reflective thinkers. In my opinion, they think too much, but that's my opinion. Deep, reflective thinkers. Now, we'll see in a minute, most of the great theoreticians and writers and scholars, a lot of them are melancholy. Now, under weaknesses, they're moody, gloomy, and negative. That's because they think so much. Pessimistic. Melancholies have the gift of seeing what's wrong. Cholerics have the gift of seeing what's right. We balanced each other out. I was always charging hell with a squirt gun. She was saying, slow down. Pessimistic. They like to suffer. Martyrs. They're looking for a cause that they can give their life for. A high percentage of missionaries are melancholy. They don't mind living in mud huts and eating bugs. They really don't. They're looking for a cause to do that with. hypochondriacs. I mean, they keep WebMD in business. They, you know, they're always looking for the stuff, and they read the books, and they can tell you what it is, and it's hypochondriacs. Introspective, to the extreme, harmful. Why did I do that? I must be a bad person. I wouldn't have had that thought. I wouldn't have said that word. I must be no good. Goes through their head all the time. They're fighting those kinds of thoughts. They're depression prone because of all the above. They tend to be depressed. And they're very proud they are not like these other dumb temperaments. Activities, strengths, they're strong perfectionist tendencies. Boy, if a melancholy does it, it's right. It's done right. They like detail and analytical work. Self-discipline, they finish their work. Now, they may not start a lot, but boy, they'll finish it. They're fitted for creative, intellectual work. They're conscientious and thorough. They're gifted. They're genius prone. By far, melancholics have the highest IQ level of any of the groups. They know their own limitations and they don't overcommit. Weaknesses, they're indecisive. They're always analyzing. And they hard for them to come to a decision. They would much prefer for a choleric or a sanguine to make the decision and let them gripe about it. It's much preferable. They're theoretical and impractical. They're always saying, well, that's the way it should be. Yeah, but it's not that way. Yeah, but it should be that way. They tire easily. These are not good manual laborers, usually. They're hesitant to start new projects because they're fearful they can't do it perfectly. So these won't do it. Too much analysis. Life's work must demand the greatest in sacrifice, self-denial, and service. Otherwise, they could pull back. They get moody over their creations. And I hate to use Nancy as an example, but she'll write a gorgeous, beautiful song and then listen to it and say, oh, no, that's all wrong. If I could write a song like that girl writes, I would die for it. But melancholies, they're so creative, and they'll look at it and say, no, it's not perfect. Relationships to others, strengths, they are dependable friends. If you have a melancholy for a friend, you have a treasure. They don't make many friends, but boy, the ones they make, they are deep and they're solid. They're self-sacrificing friends, faithful and loyal friends. They make friends cautiously. They're not going to make a friend quickly. It's got to be by degrees and over a period of time. They have a deep feeling for friends. Weaknesses, they're critical of others' imperfections. When we first married, I was a young preacher full of myself, more so than even now. And we first married, Nancy, the first sermon or two, she was taking copious notes on the front row. And I was just so impressed that what I had to say was so profound that my wife was just taking copious notes of that. Till after the service, she came up to me and presented the list so proudly and said, these are all the words you mispronounced. Now, she thought she was helping me. I was devastated by it. Critical of others' imperfections. And now this is one thing God's had to deal with Nancy on. He said, Lord, help me not be so critical. By the way, others of you besides clerics can take this to your prayer closet. Amen? We'll help you figure out which one you are and say, Lord, help me change. Help me grow. They search for perfection and judge everything according to their ideals. They're fearful of what others think of them. Suspicious of others. Can erupt into violent anger after prolonged animosity. This meek, quiet person for years will take stuff, and all of a sudden one day they just explode. What happened? The last straw got piled on. Often deeply hurt by others. They have such a high expectation of other people. They're hurt by them when they don't measure up. They'll carry a grudge and be revengeful. You may not know it, but it's down there. They dislike those in opposition. They're hard to get along with. I don't know how to say this to melancholy. You're hard to get along with. Occupations and hobbies. Artists, musicians, tailors, seamstresses, designers, culinary arts, accountants, hairdressers, cosmetologists, spectators at athletic events. Melancholies usually don't like to sweat or watch others sweat. Educators, usually in science, math, and English, interior decorators, architects, authors, engineers, crafts, handyman, project at home, love to read and write poetry. They're inventors, philosophers, theoreticians. Their life goal, driving a life, is they want everything to be perfect. They need order and sensitivity. When it's not, it causes them problems. They become depressed in chaos. Number four, the fourth temperament is the phlegmatic, pardon me. And Abraham is our example of a phlegmatic. We'll be looking at that in detail, how God took his life and changed it. Under strength, they're calm and dependable. These folks just go through life. They're good-natured and easy to get along with. Cheerful, pleasant, even if they don't have much to say. They're kind-hearted. They're peace-loving. The goal of a phlegmatic is let there be peace. Let there be peace. So they just kind of their way through life. Weakness is they lack self-confidence. They're pessimistic. They're fearful. They're worriers. Phlegmatics chew their fingernails. I've never met a phlegmatic that have fingernails. They're always chewed, unless they've pasted some over them. I can't know that. Phlegmatics are worriers. They rarely laugh aloud. They're passive and indifferent. They're compromising. They'll compromise for the sake of peace. They'll let their kids commit murder, almost literally, before they want to correct them because they don't want there to be a scene. They let situations get out of control because their whole life goal is peace. So they let things go that need to be dealt with, and later it comes back and haunts them. They're self-righteous. They look at themselves and say, thank God I'm not a sanguine or a choleric. They're so grateful for that. Shrinks. They work well under pressure. That's because they don't realize how bad it really is. They have a practical, easy way of working. Their whole life is plot on, plot on, plot on, plot on. Plot on, plot on, plot on. Conservative. They're conservative in everything they do. Their dress, their finances, they're just conservative in everything they do. They're neat and proficient. Their desks are organized. Their closets are organized. There's no clutter in their lives. Sickening is what it is. No, it's a... They plan their work before beginning. They're a stabilizing influence because of their faithfulness, their steadiness. They're a stabilizing influence. Phlegmatics hold most churches together. They hold most organizations together. These are the worker bees, the people who just get it done. They're dependable workers. These people stick around and get the 50-year gold watches. Weaknesses, they're calm, serene, and uninvolved. Slow and lazy, that's a little bit hard. But they're not motivated to go make things happen. They're reluctant leaders. If you ask them to take leadership the first 27 times, they'll tell you no. The 28th time, they will finally take it and do it, and they do a great job of it, but you have to talk them into it. Lack of motivation. They're not going to volunteer for nothing. Indecisive. Again, they'd rather think about it and procrastinate and push it back and let you make the decision and then gripe. They overprotect themselves from involvement. They discourage others. They're always against change. If it involves change, they're against it. Oppose change of any kind. Relationship to others. Strengths are pleasant to be with. These are really nice people. Have many friends. Have a dry, witty sense of humor. They can actually tell a joke without laughing at the punchline. Most comedians are phlegmatic. Softening, conciliating effect on others. They're constant and faithful. They're diplomatic and peacemaking. They're good listeners. They make great counselors because they listen more than they talk. They're faithful friends. They give advice only when asked. That's a blessing, isn't it? Weaknesses, they don't allow themselves to get involved. They're just going to be spectators. They're just going to watch. They're selfish and stingy. They study people with indifference. They're just always watching. Don't make me get involved. I'm just going to study this. Unenthusiastic, stubborn. Their favorite song is I Shall Not Be Moved. and they sing it often and well. They're indifferent about others. They tease others who annoy them. They're not too cordial. They have an attitude of superiority. Occupations and hobbies are good parents. They love to putter around the house. Accountants, bookkeepers, counselors, educators, especially at the young ages. Crafts, home projects, reluctant leaders, administrators, designers, seamstresses, tailors, executive assistants, secretaries, culinary arts, spectator of athletics, diplomats, and scientists. Their life goal is they want to keep out of trouble and have peace, whatever the cost. They want and need respect. They want people to respect them for their faithfulness and what they do. And they need a feeling of self-worth. They need to know who they are. And that part of their life needs to be encouraged in God. Now, I've given you a quick quiz of temperament traits. I'm not going to do this now. This is homework for next week. No one is 100% anything. We're all a mixture. I am predominantly choleric. I have secondary sanguine traits. Nancy is predominantly melancholy with some secondary sanguine. Check these off. The one that you, and be honest with yourself, the one that you have the most of is probably your primary temperament. There's going to be some bleed over. Nobody's 100% anything. Now, the reason I've given you two copies, one on the front and one on the back, I want you to fill one of these out. Then I want your spouse or another close person to fill the other one out. Sometimes you lie about yourself. Amen? So you take one side of it. Then somebody who knows you really well do the other side of it and bring you back to reality. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to take an account of how many cholerics I've got, how many sanguines, how many melancholies, how many phlegmatics. So I know how to preach to you. Now, I'm going to close with this. When God made you, He did not make a mistake. If you were born sanguine or choleric or melancholy or phlegmatic, that is exactly the way God wired you. We're going to see four great men of God. How many of you believe that Peter and Paul and Moses and Abraham are pretty good company to be in? They were all one of those temperaments. God took them with their weaknesses and made them men who built the kingdom. I will always be a cleric. I'm sorry. I really am. I wish I could change. I've tried. Do you know what God wants me to be? He wants me to be a spirit-controlled cleric. He wants me to keep the strengths. How many of you notice in every one of those there's strengths and there's weaknesses? Strengths He wants you to keep. That's the good part. The weaknesses are the areas that God wants to change and adjust you. Now, why would God want to do that? So you can be effective in building the kingdom of God. Number one, some of you don't like yourselves. You know why? Because you're comparing yourself against somebody else. You may be a quiet person. You're comparing yourself to a loud person. Say, if I was like them, I'd be fine. Or you're loud and you want to be quiet. Or No. God made you the way that you are. He wants to adjust you. We have to accept ourselves, and then we have to accept other people. When God put in my heart, God joined Nancy to you as your flesh. She's melancholy. Accept her. Love her. Let God work. First of all, you change, Paul. See, I spent my whole first years trying to change her. No, God said, forget about her. You change you. When I begin to change, she began to change. God brought restoration. Now, some of you are having interpersonal relationship conflicts, conflicts with your kids, your grandkids, people on the job, even people in the church. You don't understand why. It's because you have not accepted them as being God's creation and being different than you are. Some of you need to forgive people for being what they are. Say, God, let me accept them, let me accept me, and God, work a change in my life. Next week, we're looking at Peter. We're going to be talking about their lives, things in their lives that changed them and made them men that God could use to build the kingdom. Imperfect men. Men that God could use. How many of you would say this morning, Paul, I want God to change me and make me all that He wants me to be. Can I see your hand? Just, I want Him to change me and make me all that He wants me to be. Lord, this morning we come and we thank You for Your grace. When we were in sin, when we were failures, You loved us. You paid the price for our sin. You went to the cross that we might have eternal life. How we thank You for that, Lord. Lord, those of us that are believers here this morning, You, when we called upon You in faith, You came to live inside of us. You gave us Your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to empower us to live this life. Lord, we want to be everything You want us to be. Lord, we want to be able to relate to those around us and to minister to them effectively without judging them, Lord. So we thank You today for the teaching on temperance.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.